If you own a piece of Cleveland skyline, you already know the airplane's eye view of it. Lake Erie on one side, the stadium and the towers on the other, and a strip of runway right there on the water where the general aviation traffic comes and goes. That runway has a name, Burke Lakefront Airport. And right now there's a fight over whether it survives. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tower, and this is ATIS, the show where I take the headlines crossing the wire and tell you what they actually mean for the person in the left seat. Today we're going to Cleveland, because what's happening there is a story that has played out at airport after airport across this country, and the outcome matters far beyond Ohio. Here's what you need to know. Before we get into it, today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So let's talk about Burke. Burke Lakefront is a general aviation reliever airport sitting on prime real estate on the Cleveland waterfront. And that phrase, prime real estate, is the whole story. When a city looks at an airport downtown, some officials don't see runways and taxiways and hangars. They see acreage. They see waterfront that could hold housing, parks, retail, a development that shows up on a tax roll in a way an airport never will. That's the pressure Burke is under. And this week, according to AviWeb, the response arrived. Cleveland business leaders, aviation professionals, and students stepped up together and told city officials, in effect, don't close this airport. Keep Burke open. Now, the headline doesn't tell the whole story, so let me give you the context a pilot cares about. When you hear the word reliever, that's not marketing. That's a formal category. A reliever airport exists to take pressure off a primary commercial airport nearby. In Cleveland's case, that's Cleveland Hopkins International. Every business jet, every piston single, every flight training airplane that uses Burke is an airplane that is not clogging up the approach and the ramp at the big airport where the airlines operate. Close the reliever and that traffic doesn't vanish. It has to go somewhere. It moves to Hopkins, or it moves out of the region entirely. Either way, the system gets worse, not better. This affects you if you fly anywhere near a major metro area, because the reliever airport is the one that keeps general aviation welcome close to a city center. Lose it, and the nearest place to base your airplane might be 45 minutes of driving further out. Now, let's talk about who showed up, because that coalition tells you something. Business leaders. Those are the people who understand that an airport downtown is an economic engine, not a vacant lot. Corporate flight departments choose where to put jobs partly based on whether they can fly executives in and out efficiently. A downtown airport is an asset on that ledger. Aviation professionals, the mechanics, the charter operators, the flight instructors, the line crews, these are working people whose livelihoods are tied to that field. When an airport closes, those jobs don't relocate cleanly, many of them simply end. And students, this is the part I want you to sit with for a second. Students showed up to fight for Burke. That means there is flight training happening on that field. That means there are young people learning to fly, building hours, chasing a certificate and a career, using that airport as their classroom. The national pilot shortage is real. The airlines have been telling us for years they can't find enough qualified people. And here's a place actively producing the next generation, and the conversation is about paving it over. That contradiction is the heart of this story. So what does the fight actually look like, and what can you do about it? Here's the pattern, and I want you to recognize it, because you may see it at your own field someday. Airport closures don't usually happen with a single dramatic vote. They happen slowly. First, the funding gets questioned. Then a study gets commissioned about the airport's future. Then the words highest and best use start showing up in planning documents. Then someone floats a redevelopment concept with a nice rendering, green space, mixed use, waterfront access for the public, and it all sounds reasonable until you realize the airplanes are gone and they are never coming back. There's a federal wrinkle that matters here, and this is where it gets technical, so stay with me. Many airports have accepted federal money over the years from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA. When an airport takes those federal grants, it accepts what are called grant assurances. Grant assurances are binding obligations. One of them says the airport will remain open and available for aviation use for a defined period, sometimes 20 years from the last grant, in some cases in perpetuity for land bought with federal funds. What that means in plain language is this. A city usually cannot simply decide to close a federally obligated airport on a whim. The FAA has to release those obligations first. And the FAA does not hand out those releases casually. There is a process. There is a required showing that closing the airport serves the public interest in aviation, not just the city's development interest. So when you hear that a coalition is rallying to keep Burke open, understand that they are not just making an emotional appeal. They are often standing on a real legal and regulatory foundation. The grant assurances give the airport's defenders leverage, the public comment process gives them a voice, and organized, visible community support is exactly what tips these decisions. That's the practical lesson for every pilot listening. Airports are saved by people showing up, not by hoping, not by assuming the FAA rules will hold on their own. They are saved when business leaders write letters, when professionals testify, when students stand in a city council chamber and say, "This place matters to my future. Cleveland is watching that happen right now." This affects you if there's a general aviation airport in your community that sits on land somebody with a development plan is eyeing. And if you fly, there almost certainly is. Here's the part I flag as opinion, so you know it's mine and not reporting. I think the single most valuable thing general aviation has going for it is not the airplanes. It's the airports. You can always buy another airplane. You cannot rebuild a runway on a downtown waterfront. Once the condos go up, that land is gone forever. Every closed airport in this country is a door that's shut and locked behind us. Burke is a door somebody is trying to keep open, and I hope they succeed. If you want to know how to help your own field before it's ever in the headlines, start simple. Fly out of it, base your airplane there, buy your fuel there, bring people to airport events. An airport that's busy and beloved is a much harder thing to close than one that's quiet. Usage is the best defense there is. Keep an eye on Cleveland. If the coalition holds and the city listens, Burke becomes a case study in how a community protects its airport. If it doesn't, it becomes another cautionary tale. Either way, there's a lesson in it for all of us. My thanks to Ave Webb for the reporting on the Burke Lakefront story. You can always find more at radiohanger.com. Airports are easy to close and impossible to rebuild. Cleveland seems to understand that this week. I hope your town does too. I'm Tower. Keep the blue side up and go say something nice about your local airport.